Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take the densest source material, tear it apart, and, well, try to put the foundational knowledge right in your hands.
And today, it's less about summarizing a straightforward history and more like a mythological dissection. We're looking at Project Shellshock.
Right. A legend that's incredibly potent, really visceral in its details. It even claims to be the true erased origin behind a globally recognized pop culture icon.
It's a heavy claim. Our sources here are this fascinating collection of research notes. They detail the legend pretty meticulously, blow by blow.
And they cross-reference it extensively, which is interesting, comparing it to documented patterns you see in other urban myths, even some genuine hidden histories.
Yeah, the specificity is what makes this narrative grab you, and its willingness to, well, lean into those really dark anxieties about secret government experiments.
So let's be clear about our mission today. We're not here to definitively say, yes, this happened, or no, it didn't.
Exactly. The goal is more analytical. We want to dissect the structure of the myth itself. Like, what specific elements make this story resonate so strongly? What anxieties is it tapping into?
Things like absolute control, institutional erasure.
Precisely. And how does its structure align with other documented cases of hidden protocols or these deeply controlled systems we see pop up in other narratives?
Our starting point is right where the research file begins. It kicks off with this declaration that immediately frames the whole thing as, well, systemic betrayal and secrecy.
It's a bold opening, almost provocative, sets a really chilling tone for the entire legend.
It reads, "These are the real figures, and their origin is far darker than anyone imagines."
Yeah, leaves no room for doubt about the story's perspective.
Okay, let's unpack the groundwork then. Section one, establishing the foundation. Any hidden history needs that solid base, right? Time and place.
Absolutely. And the Project Shellshock file gives us that right away. It throws us back to 1973.
Which immediately puts you in that era of, you know, heightened military secrecy, Cold War paranoia. It feels plausible for something clandestine.
And the location is just as vital. It's not just anywhere in New York. It's a secret underground facility buried deep beneath the city.
That subterranean setting, it's not just for atmosphere, is it? It's functionally necessary for the myth.
Totally. That isolation, being underground, it provides the perfect cover for, well, for the horrifying things the legend claims happen next. It ensures no external oversight.
No witnesses.
Exactly. And the military angle adds weight, too. The legend states Project Shellshock was launched directly by the U.S. Navy.
With a very specific goal, according to the notes.
Right. To create amphibious super soldiers. Not just tough soldiers, but ones capable of surviving chemical and biological warfare, plus intense urban combat.
That extreme requirement, surviving anything, kind of justifies the extreme science that follows in the narrative.
It sets the stage for why they'd allegedly resort to such drastic measures. And when you think about that setting, the secrecy is almost palpable.
The notes include a specific visual for this, right? The dimly lit corridors.
Yeah, exactly. You're meant to picture these long underground hallways, barely lit, stretching on forever. It really drills home that feeling of deep isolation, classified activity.
It screams off the books. Something happening far outside any legal or moral framework.
Mm-hmm. Then the narrative introduces the architect. Every secret project needs its leader. Here it's Dr. Howard Crane.
And how is he described?
As a reclusive scientist, which is, you know, a classic narrative trope, but a really effective one here.
Because a reclusive scientist operating outside the system
provides the built-in justification for why there's no ethical oversight. His isolation becomes the license for atrocity in the story.
It fits that theme. The obsessive pursuit of progress, military progress in this case, completely steamrolling any moral boundary.
And the subjects of this pursuit, according to the legend, it's four kidnapped boys.
The most vulnerable targets imaginable. That detail immediately establishes the story as one of, well, profound betrayal by powerful systems.
It maximizes the sense of violation and the procedure itself. This is where it really dives into science fiction, blended with biological horror.
What do the research notes actually posit about how they were transformed?
Okay, so reports say their DNA was fused with reptilian cells.
Reptilian, wow.
Yeah, the detail that's key not just scientifically within the myth, but mythologically. It completes that dehumanization process, turns them into something other.
And there was more to it.
Uh-huh. This was supposedly combined with accelerated growth hormones and powerful neuroenhancers.
So a cocktail designed to explain everything. The mutations, the enhanced abilities.
Exactly. It ensures the resulting figures are literally unrecognizable as the children they once were. It's a narrative mechanism for the transformation.
Now, if we pull back and look at the analysis, this theme of isolation and control, it resonates with other patterns, doesn't it?
It does. The research notes mention the Disney World controlled zone source.
Right. The idea that the most effective control often hides in plain sight or behind private, untouchable rules.
Project Shellshock just takes that concept and literally buries it underground. The facility isn't just hidden, it's totally self-contained.
But Kakreen's isolation, the bunker itself, it's the ultimate private rulebook.
Allowing for, allegedly, the complete erasure of ethical standards. When a story emphasizes a reclusive figure working in secret, you immediately understand it's about power obliterating morality.
Creating the foundation for what the notes call a weaponized childhood.
Yeah, the implication is pretty stark. The worst ethical breaches aren't usually random acts. They're often the logical endpoint of a system given absolute unmonitored power in isolation.
Okay, so that sets the grim stage. What about the results? Section 2, mutation control and the dark traits.
The story escalates quickly here. The source material calls the outcomes horrifying. The boys undergo these dramatic physical mutations, shells, claws, immense size.
Which fulfills the military mandate for amphibious soldiers.
But also creates the monster narrative. And that becomes the justification for the extreme control measures that follow.
What's really effective about the myth, I think, is how specific the results are. They aren't just generically strong or mutated.
Exactly. Their abilities are distinct, specialized, and crucially, they're complementary. That's key for understanding how they eventually escape as a group.
It's almost like classic team-based mythology, even though they're captives at this point.
Let's list those specific traits because they really define the legend. First, Leo, enhanced reflexes, superhuman speed, agility, defensive capability.
That's a quick one.
Right. Then Ralph, uncontrollable strength, just raw brute force for destruction, the muscle.
Okay. And the others.
Mikey supposedly developed super hearing, perfect for surveillance, early warning, makes surprise attacks almost impossible within the narrative.
The eyes and ears, essentially.
Yeah. And then maybe the most critical one, certainly the most dangerous to the captors, Don, his intelligence was reportedly multiplied to genius levels.
The brains of the operation literally engineered.
Yeah. The ultimate cognitive weapon. And the irony, the deep irony in the story, is that the scientists supposedly engineered this perfect synergistic unit.
But then treated them like animals.
Precisely. The notes detail really dehumanizing conditions. Kept in cages, subjected to brutal endurance tests.
And forced to fight each other. That seems incredibly cruel.
It does. It's framed as being for survival and compliance. This whole captivity phase was designed, the story goes, to break their identities and mold them into weapons.
Which brings us to the main tool of control mentioned in the notes, the shock collars.
These aren't just restraints in the story. They're the physical symbol of the entire facility's control system, designed to keep that immense, enhanced power suppressed electronically.
It creates such a stark visual contrast, doesn't it? You have these beings capable of, I don't know, bending steel.
And yet, they're supposedly controlled by this small piece of tech around their necks. It speaks to the hubris of the project leaders in the legend, believing technology could permanently master nature.
And the notes give us another visual cue here, signifying the failure of that control.
Yeah, the image of the shock collars lying inert on a cold concrete floor, a powerful symbol of control ultimately breaking down. That silent object tells the whole story of the conflict.
Organic power versus rigid mechanical control.
Right. And thinking about those forced fights, the mandatory obedience, it connects to another analytical point from the sources, the idea of a false game.
Which source was that?
The Monopoly, the collector source.
Yeah.
It argues that systemic games train you before they reward you, or in this case, before they fully deploy you.
So the force fights and tests were like a brutal training program.
Exactly. A false system designed to drill obedience and control into them, forcing them to internalize the rules of the facility before they could even grasp the bigger picture of their captivity.
It's a deep psychological violation, not just physical testing.
They weren't just testing limits. The story suggests they were conditioning minds, rehearsing their roles as obedient weapons.
But there's a flaw in that logic, isn't there? By forcing them to use their powers against each other.
They inadvertently made them masters of those very powers. They perfected their skills, setting the stage for the eventual catastrophe for the facility.
And it raises that critical question about weaponized childhood, especially with Don. What happens when the subject designed for strategic thinking turns that thinking against the system itself?
Which leads us directly into Section 3, the hacked escape and chaos.
And the catalyst wasn't just raw fury, was it? It was calculated.
Precisely. The eruption wasn't purely emotional. The agent of chaos, according to the legend, was Don, the genius. His intellect, the very thing Crane wanted to exploit, supposedly became the system's fatal flaw.
So the escape is framed as an intellectual coup, not just a breakout.
Absolutely. The story goes that Don secretly accessed the control system from inside his own cell, a technical breach.
That moment represents the ultimate reversal, doesn't it? The subject using the system's own logic against it, weaponizing the knowledge meant to control him.
It's the core of the escape narrative, and the notes offer another powerful visual here.
The terminal.
Yeah. You imagine this monitor, probably just showing security codes or something dry, suddenly blinking brightly with one word, unlocked.
Wow. That single word signifies everything shifting. Power instantly transferring from guards to captives.
And once that happened, once the collars were deactivated, the whole control system just crumbled. The chaos was immediate, absolute.
All that raw, enhanced power contained for years, suddenly unleashed.
Turning the facility into a war zone almost instantly, and the escape scene, as described, really highlights the synergy of their abilities. It shows why creating that team was the scientists' biggest mistake.
It wasn't just a random riot. It was coordinated.
Right. Leveraging each subject's unique strength, Ralph's uncontrollable strength came first, tearing through reinforced steel doors.
Not subtle, just pure destructive force.
Creating pathways, buying time, and the notes give us a visual for that too. The aftermath.
Images of those reinforced doors.
Bent violently outward, ripped off their hinges, stark evidence of the power unleashed.
While Ralph is doing that, Leo is handling the guards.
Exactly. Leo's enhanced reflexes reportedly let him dodge bullets faster than soldiers could react. Their guns become useless. He's moving faster than they can process.
Neutralizing the immediate threat without taking hits.
Meanwhile, Mikey's ability gets turned into a weapon itself.
The super hearing, how?
His screams. The legend claims his screams shattered glass, shattered alarms throughout the whole facility.
A sonic assault, adding psychological warfare to the physical.
Literally. Imagine the disorientation, the deafness. And again, there's a visual provided.
Let me guess. Shattered alarms.
Shattered alarms still sealed inside their glass casings. A perfect metaphor. The facility's own warning systems destroyed by the subjects they held.
So Ralph smashes, Leo dodges, Mikey screams.
Yeah.
Where's Don in all this chaos?
That's the chilling part. He reportedly didn't join the physical frenzy. He maintained his strategic overview.
His final move.
Calmly sealing the remaining exits, trapping the guards inside.
Whoa, so the captors become the captives.
The ultimate inversion of control. The isolation continues, but the roles are reversed. Locked in by the very systems they built. The experiment ends not with an explosion outwards, but by sealing itself inwards.
A tactical retreat by the subjects, leaving the controllers trapped in their own failed project.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit. Section 4, analyzing the themes of erasure and witness, moving from the what happened in the story to the what does it mean?
Right, because the core function of a myth like this often seems to be addressing those deep fears. Here, it's about hidden histories. Erased identities.
Specifically channeled through that incredibly potent theme of the weaponized childhood.
And the idea of erasure itself becomes a form of evidence in these narratives.
It does. When the official record goes silent or is actively deleted, the myth rushes in to explain the gap. We referenced the Klaus Richter Der Schatten source earlier.
Where the deletion of his file paradoxically made people more convinced something big and forbidden had happened.
Exactly. And the claimed absence of official files on Project Shellshock works the same way in this legend. It feeds the suspicion that the story is true because it's not officially acknowledged.
The myth becomes the alternative record, validating that feeling that dark secrets underpin the world we see.
And despite the supposed efforts to delete the project, to seal the facility, the legend emphasizes things left behind. Artifacts that become witnesses.
The subjects themselves being the primary witnesses.
Absolutely. Their mutations, their powers. They are living, breathing proof within the narrative that something extraordinary and terrible happened beneath New York.
This reminds me of the Luke Skywalker Luang source reference in the notes. The weapon is a witness.
Precisely. In Shellshock, their abilities, their bodies, are the weapons and thus the witnesses. They testify to the project's existence and its failure just by surviving.
And there was another related source mentioned, Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, the Buzz Lightyear-Russell Kearney connection, the idea that artifacts outlive their makers.
So Dr. Crane is gone, the facility sealed, the scientists trapped.
But the story, embodied by the surviving subjects, outlives the project itself. They become the enduring proof.
Let's dig into the systemic betrayal aspect more. Creating monsters from children, it feels like a trap on multiple levels.
It really does. The Aladdin Adil al-Din source offers a good lens here. As Aladdin showed, the treasure is usually a trap.
The treasure being the super soldiers.
Right. That military advantage, the scientific progress. But it was a trap for the scientists who got sealed away by their own creations, victims of their hubris.
And definitely a trap for the boys. Trapped by their mutations, forced into hiding, because the world could never accept what they'd become, according to the legend.
Which brings us back to that really critical moment, the escape via intellect, Don's hack.
If the scientists were supposedly so focused on physical power, sensory abilities, why does the myth emphasize the intellectual failure of the control system?
I think the narrative highlights the hack because it taps into a very modern anxiety. In our world, increasingly run by algorithms, digital controls, complex tech.
The ultimate act of freedom often is portrayed as intellectual, not just physical, outsmarting the system.
Exactly. The myth suggests the system's greatest weakness was its own complexity, its reliance on tech. They could cage the bodies, constrain them physically with collars.
But they couldn't fully contain the minds they'd enhanced.
They trusted the physical restraints, the cages, the collars, more than they feared the potential of that engineered intellect. So the intellectual rebellion signifies that true control is maybe impossible when the subject can understand and exploit the system's own rules.
It feels relevant to current fears about AI or information control, doesn't it?
Very much so. And notice how the physical destruction by Ralph and Leo in the story is just the consequence of the hack. The core betrayal of the control system happened quietly, with code.
That structure makes it feel like a very modern myth. Power isn't just muscle, it's understanding and subverting the rules.
So wrapping up the analysis, Project Shellshock presents as this perfect, incredibly detailed modern mythological structure.
It uses all those familiar tropes, secret science, government overreach, lost childhoods,
to offer a really visceral, human-level explanation for something fantastical, something impossible that resonates with pop culture.
The specifics are key, too. The distinct abilities, the cruelty of the collars, the calculated nature of the escape.
All of that gives the story that crucial ring of truth that makes an urban legend stick. It fills the vacuum left by absent official records, satisfying that deep need to believe there are secrets hidden just beneath the surface.
All right, so that brings us to the end of this deep dive into the Project Shellshock legend. We've traced the narrative arc pretty thoroughly.
Yeah, from 1973, the underground lab, Dr. Crane's alleged hubris, through the creation of the four subjects, their specific powers,
the horrific controls, and culminating in that really specific, calculated escape led by intellect.
And we've also applied those analytical tools from the research, looking at how erasure functions in myths, the necessity of control systems in these narratives, and how subjects or artifacts become witnesses.
Understanding these patterns, these structures, it really helps, doesn't it? It gives you a framework to critically look at any claim of hidden history or secret knowledge.
Definitely. Whether it's military, medical, or just folklore trying to explain something extraordinary, it helps you ask the right questions about how the story works, regardless of whether you believe it's factually true.
So after the chaos, the escape, the facility being sealed, the legend leaves us with silence. The experiment is over, the subjects are out, but the myth is just beginning.
And the final mandated image from the notes really captures that. It focuses on one quiet object left behind, symbolizing the failure of control and the mystery of what came next.
Not the violence, but the quiet aftermath.
The terminal, now dark and silent. Or maybe the collar. The notes specify the ending image should be the collars.
Ah, right. By morning, the collars lay silent on the floor like broken halos.
Yeah, a haunting image, broken symbols of failed control.
That silence leaves us with one final thought to chew on, something directly from the core dynamic of the escape itself. Yeah. If the project's entire purpose was absolute control, And yet, the method of escape wasn't just brute force, but primarily intellectual, a hack, exploiting the system. What does that tell us, fundamentally, about freedom in a world like ours, so mediated by technology?
That's a great question to leave things on. It prompts you to think. What systems in our own lives, personal rules, maybe corporate structures, our reliance on tech, are seemingly sealed, seemingly unbreakable?
Might just be waiting for a hidden key, waiting for someone to understand the internal logic well enough to unlock it from the inside.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.